My name is Loki Mayberg. I'm a feature PM on the platform team. Today we're going to be talking about building apps for teams with low-code, no-code tools. Super excited. It's going to be a pretty packed next 30 minutes. I'm joined by my colleague and partner, Faisa, who's going to be kicking it off. Faisa, how about you introduce yourself and get us going?
Thank you, Loki. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining and hope you are enjoying your time at Build so far. My name is Faisa, and I'm a senior program manager on the Teams platform team. As Loki mentioned, we have a packed agenda for you today, so let's go ahead and jump right in. Here is our agenda. We're going to start by giving you a high-level overview of the frameworks that are available to you as you think about building apps for Teams. We'll then focus on two of those frameworks. I will focus on Power Platform, and Loki will focus on SharePoint Framework. We'll then share some resources that we have for you today, and then we'll answer questions that you have for us. In addition to Teams being a hub for productivity and collaboration, Teams is also an application platform. And as you start thinking about building an app for Teams, there are a few frameworks that are available for you to do this. And these frameworks really exist along a spectrum. At the high-end code of that spectrum, you have ultimate flexibility. You can use tools like C# and JavaScript to build fully-fledged web applications and bring those apps into Teams. At the low-code end of the spectrum, you have the Power Platform and you have SharePoint Framework. And these frameworks allow you to build applications using very little, and in some cases, even no programming experience. In addition, you can build apps very quickly using low-code tools. So depending on the priorities for your project, do you want to go with ultimate flexibility with high code, or do you want to go with speed with low-code? We have the right framework for you. Let's take a look at Power Platform. Today, I'll be focusing on three members of the Power Platform family, and you can see them highlighted on my screen. And what I really want to do is just show you a bunch of demos and give you a sense of what's possible. So let's go ahead and get started. For the first demo, I'll be walking you through how to automate the process for onboarding a new team member. Let's take a look at what that experience looks like within Teams. I'm going to go ahead and quickly jump into my Teams client right here. But this is me in Teams. For the purposes of this demo, I'm a new hire at a company called Contoso, and I've just been added to the Contoso team. I see that I have a message here. And so I go ahead and check out what that message is. It's from the Power Automate or Flowbot, and it's asking me to provide some information about myself so that there can be a post in the welcome channel. Sounds good. I already have my text typed. So I just paste it in there and I hit on submit. When I do that, the Power Automate bot takes my submission and asks me to check out the welcome channel. So I go ahead and I do just that. When I get into the welcome channel, I see that I have a cool welcome message that allows everyone else to know a little bit about me, including the text that I just shared with the Power Automate bot. I also see a few resources that are available to help me begin to ramp up. So super cool, super easy scenario. Let me switch gears and put on my maker hat and show you how I built this using Power Automate. So I'm going to switch gears and jump right in here. And starting from the same message, but using a different persona, my maker persona, I'll go ahead and go into the Power Automate or Flow app in Teams. And from here, I'll jump into the flows tab, which shows me all the flows that I have available to me. I click on this specific flow, which is the one I'm using for automating the onboarding process. And here I can see four steps in my flow that I'm just going to walk you through real quick. The first one is the trigger, and it says, when a new team member is added to Contoso. So as soon as there's a new team member in Contoso, the first thing we want to do is to grab the user's profile using the O365 Users Connector, which is a pretty important connector for you to be familiar with in Power Automate world. After that, I do two things. The first is I post an adaptive card to this user and wait for a response. So this is where you saw me seeing an adaptive card from the Power Automate or Flowbot. And here you can see that card being represented in JSON. And you're probably thinking, do I have to craft this JSON myself? Absolutely not. We have a resource for you that's called the Adaptive Card Designer. I have a link to it in this deck, so you can take a look later on. But it allows you to build adaptive cards in a drag and drop visual way, and we generate all the JSON that you need. So once you have that done, we'll go to the final step of this flow, which is posting a message. I pick the team and the channel that I want my message to be posted in, and then you can see my message right here. The interesting thing about the message is that I'm pulling in parameters from previous steps, things like the name of the new hire or the description that that new hire provided about themselves. And there you have it, 4 steps to automate onboarding end to end. Let's jump back into our deck and just do a little summary. To be able to automate the process of onboarding a new team member, I used 4 steps, but here I'm really focusing on the new team member joins trigger, and then 2 actions, 1 to post an adaptive card and wait to be able to grab information, and then posting the message in Teams that really tells everybody that this new member is welcome. So that's it for the first chapter of our demo. I'll move on to the next chapter. I'm still a new hire, I'm feeling welcome, and my onboarding process is going well, but how do I provide feedback to the business around what's going well and maybe what needs improvement? I'm going to show you what that experience looks like in Teams. So starting from the same welcome message that I have, I can see a link here that says, I have an onboarding app. So let me click on that. And when I click on my onboarding app, you will see that I have this beautiful app, this Power App pinned in Teams. And it allows me to do a few things. It allows me to look at my profile. I can also check and complete onboarding tasks that have been assigned to me. And I can also rate my onboarding experience, which is what I really came here to do. The cool thing I want to show you about this app is that it is context aware. And when I say context aware, this is what I mean. If I go ahead and I click on settings here, and I change the theme of my Teams client to dark, then I come back and I refresh my app, you would see that my app is actually able to sense that context has changed around it and to respond accordingly. So you can see my app is kind of looking different, looking more like the Teams client that it is embedded in. Let me change it one more time. I go back here, I click on settings. I change my theme back to the default. And once I do that, I come back here and I refresh my Power App. And again, the Power App is able to know that, hey, things have changed around me. Let me adjust myself as well. I'll show you quickly how I put this together using Power Apps. So I'm going to jump once again and put on my maker hat, go into the Power Apps portal. That's where I am right now. And here you see my Contoso onboarding app. I want to edit this app, so I click on this checkbox here and click on edit. I already have that app open here in the Canvas Studio. And here I want to show you a few things. The first is data sources. When I click on data sources, you would see that I have this Microsoft Teams connector here. And this is the mechanism that my Power App uses to talk to Teams. This connector is one of over 300 connectors that exist in the Power Platform ecosystem. So you can actually browse those connectors and find the right app or service that you want to use to give your Power App superpowers. I encourage you to really check that out. Now, the next thing I want to show you is for some of my assets, let's take this button, for example. If I go to the fill property for this button, you would see that I have it set to a variable called primary color. And where am I defining this variable or how it behaves? If I come back to my tree view, and I click on app here, you would see that I have a few formulas that are actually helping me to set my primary color variable. So all I'm doing is I'm picking the theme from the Teams client using that connector I showed you earlier. And if the theme is dark, I pick a nice black for that primary color variable. If it's contrast, I keep it on black. And if it's for the default, I take this nice green over here. I have a different variable called foreground color that I'm using for this rectangle in this portion of my app. And here, when the theme is dark, I also pick black. Same for when it is contrast. But for the default, I have this nice gray over here. As you would imagine, the Teams theme is just one of a host of variables that my app can listen for and respond to. So this is an article that I actually have also as a resource in the deck that shows us two things. The first is you can see a formula here that's very similar to what I just showed you. So you can take this and begin to customize it for your own app. But in addition to that, we have a few of the additional context variables that you can listen to and read from in Teams. Things like locale, so your app can begin to do localization. Things like the channel ID, so your app can behave differently based on the channel that it has actually been embedded in, and more and more and more. So this is something that we're really excited about, the ability to read context from Teams and for Power Apps to respond accordingly. I'll jump back into my deck just to situate us because we're looking at a few demos. Now I'm done with chapter 2 of my demo and I'm moving on to chapter 3. So I feel welcome. I've been able to rate my onboarding experience. I still have some additional questions as I'm kind of going through the day to day. How can I get those questions answered? Let me show you how to do that using a bot, also in Teams. So I'll go back to the Teams client. And here I have my Contoso onboarding bot. And the question I have today is I need special accommodation. I go ahead and type that in. And when I type that in, the Power Automate Contoso bot comes back and asks me what kinds of accommodations I need, medical or disability. That's exactly what I need. And once I select that, the onboarding bot comes back with a link to a resource that can help me answer my question. Looking good. How did I put this together? I did it using Power Virtual Agents, which is the low-code tool from Power Platform for creating bots. And in PVA, here we are on the homepage. I'll quickly go to topics. And topics here just refer to things that you want your bots to be smart about. So you can have a host of topics. At the very top here, you can see special accommodation, which is the topic that I'm interested in. So I'm going to go ahead and click on that. And when I click on that, the first thing you would see is in the middle section are what are called trigger phrases. And here you can see different phrases that could trigger this specific topic. But one trigger phrase that you may not be seeing is I need special accommodation, which is exactly what I typed into the compose box. And the reason why I'm calling that out is that we have language understanding models running on the back end such that you don't need to input every single phrase that your users will type. You just give the bot a few sample phrases and it's smart enough to figure out what the other combinations could be. Now, the next thing I want to show you is if we go into the authoring canvas, we can actually begin to look at, as we build our bot, what that experience looks like for the end user. So if I click on test your bot here, and I bring up this test pane, I can go ahead and type the same thing. I need special accommodation. And to your right, you should see that that should trigger the bot. And it shows that from my design, there is a question that should be posted back to the user with two options, ergonomic furniture or medical disability. That's exactly what you're seeing right here. And if I go ahead and click on medical disability, the bot is able to do the conditional branching required to show me the right resource. So a quick way for you to kind of do a what you see is what you get in terms of building your bot. To summarize real quick, I've shown you how to build a bot using Power Virtual Agent, how to take advantage of the built-in language understanding models, and how to use real-time topic tracking to really help test your bot while staying within the Power Virtual Agent canvas. This is all I'll be sharing today as far as the Power Platform side of our presentation. Loki will now walk us through what things look like on the SharePoint framework side of the house. Loki, please take it away.
Thanks, Afesa. I'm going to be showing you folks how to take an existing SharePoint site and how you can wrap that up and package it as a standalone application that you can deploy in Teams. This is great for intranet sites that you want to package and deploy to the rest of your organization. So let's get started. Okay, so the first thing you want to do is you want to head over to this URL, aka.ms/SharePointAppInTeams, and that's going to be the documentation that I'll be walking you through today. Next thing you want to do, go over to a SharePoint site or page. So this is the one that I want to be pinning today, and I just want you to copy that URL. Perfect. Next, head over to Teams, go over to App Studio. If you don't have App Studio yet, head over to our App Store and download it. I have created an app called Intranet just to skip some time. So I'll leave it to you folks back home to fill in all of your app details. I've already done that. After you've done that, let's head over to the tab section. We'll be adding a personal tab. So let me click add, and I'm going to call this the home tab. And I'm going to paste in that URL that we copied earlier into the website URL. Let's pause for a second and talk about the content URL. The content URL has a special format that you need to follow. Don't bother remembering that. Just head over to the documentation, scroll down, and I'm just going to copy that template. Head back over here, paste in my content URL. Everything up to .com needs to go over to here where the site URL is. And everything after the .com needs to go at the very end where the site path belongs. Perfect. I'm going to click save. So I've created a personal tab called home. I have one more thing left to do, and that's to head over to domains and permissions. I just need to set up single sign-on. Don't bother remembering the app ID either. Head back to the documentation. You'll find that right here. Just copy that. Paste that in there. And then for the single sign-on URL, it's just going to be your full SharePoint domain. So in this case, it's going to be your subdomain.sharepoint.com. That's it. Let's head over to test and distribute. No errors. Perfect. I'm going to click install. So I'm going to install my little intranet app that we just built. Add that. And remember, we created a tab called the home tab, and that's going to load that SharePoint page that I created. So just give it a second to finish. There's that home tab. And voila, here, it's loading. So what I've done is create a little intranet app, a little home tab, and inside of it is my SharePoint site. This will also work on your mobile device in the app tray. And don't forget, you can also pin this to come back to later. And that's it. That's everything you need to know to take an existing SharePoint site and package it as a standalone personal app in Teams. And with that, we're going to head over and just finish up with some resources before we head over to Q&A. Thank you. And that's a wrap for the demos for today. Thanks everyone who's made it this far. Before we head over to Q&A, I just wanted to leave you folks with some resources. I highly recommend you check out some of these short links here. For all of the stuff that Faisa spoke about, you know, I highly recommend you check that one that says add Power Apps to Teams, the second one from the first column. And then if you want to visit the link that I was talking about in the demo earlier, that's in the middle column at the very bottom. That's the SharePoint app in Teams. Again, I highly recommend you check out these links if you want to get into much deeper material. Also, don't forget that if you like what we showed today, be sure to check out the deep dive video by Afesa, who's talking about Power Platform, or to check out the deep dive video about SharePoint Framework in Teams, which is hosted by myself and Luca. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to Matthew to help us out with the Q&A to answer some of the questions you folks have posted. Matthew, how about you introduce yourself and get us going?
Thanks, Loki. So the name's Matthew. I'm a PM on the Power Apps team. And I principally drive a lot of the Teams integration from the Power App side. So if you'll have any particular questions about Power Apps and Teams, I'll be able to help answer those questions as well. It looks like we have a pretty good list of questions to start off with. So let's go ahead and get started. So the first one, and this is a question for Efeza on the solution that you showed with the onboarding. Would everyone be able to see the questions you asked in the onboarding team?
The questions I asked in the onboarding team. So the onboarding solution that I showed was actually a bot. And that interaction is a one-on-one interaction with the bot. So no, not everybody will be seeing that interaction. Now, it is possible to build, to expand on that such that for questions that the bot cannot actually answer on its own, it can escalate to a group of experts and they can kind of triage and one of them can reach out and answer that specific question. But what I showed just now was a one-on-one interaction as opposed to being in a team where everybody sees those questions and their answers.
Thanks, Feza. Another question, we talked about Power Automate and Power Apps. There's a question about Power BI. Is that something that you can bring inside of Teams?
Yes, it is something you can bring inside of Teams. There are a few ways you can do that. And I would encourage you to check out my skilling session. As Loki mentioned, I actually show some of the ways where you can bring in an entire Power BI report, or you can bring in specific visuals in that report into Teams. You also have the ability to do pinning of those reports as channel tabs as well. So lots of opportunities there. I'd encourage you to check out the skilling session titled Join the Teams Plus Power Platform Movement. And that will help you see more about Power BI.
Great. And then one additional question for Efeza. You showed this app, you showed these flows. Where exactly does the data live for these applications? Say if they need to analyze it later with the Power BI features that you just described.
That's a great question. It's a popular question. And the answer is one of the beauty of the Power Platform ecosystem is those connectors that I mentioned. They give you ultimate flexibility in terms of where you want your data to reside. You can pick something really simple, like an Excel spreadsheet, and put your data there. Or you can graduate to a SharePoint list. We have connectors for that too. You can go to a SQL Server database, or you can go to a managed common data service instance, which will give you additional capabilities such as auditability and maybe even direct porting to Power BI. All the options that I mentioned have connectors, and you can kind of pick the one that you need.
Great. And now we have a question for Loki. And if I mispronounce some of these things, it's because I'm not super familiar with this tech, but that's why we have Loki. You mentioned SPFX in Teams, but I didn't see the familiar GUP bundle, et cetera, GUP bundle.
Right, yeah.
SPFX package file.
Right. So actually, if you want to learn more about how the bundler works and how also the Yeoman generator works, I highly encourage you to check out my video. What I showed you is just a small taste of something that we use in the SharePoint framework where we're able to bootstrap up, you know, in the SharePoint framework case, we're bootstrapping up a SharePoint web part. But what I showed a demo of today is where you can skip all of the development of that and you can just bootstrap up a SharePoint page or a SharePoint site directly. And so if you actually go and check out that video or go check out our documentation, you'll see the similarities between what I showed you and what a traditional development model for a SharePoint framework would look like.
That's awesome. We have another one for Efeza. This one is about one of my favorite topics, the government cloud. So what is it like developing on GCC? Is developing apps on Teams on GCC the same? Is it different? Is there any timelines that you can share?
Sure. Again, this is a great question. It's also a popular question. The reality is that because of the stricter security constraints on those GCC environments, we're not able to move as fast as we can in commercial environments. And so, but we are committed to making sure that we achieve parity. I don't really have dates that I can share at this point as to when we achieve that parity, but the goal that we're working very hard towards is to make sure that all the capabilities that you see in terms of Teams Plus platform in commercial will surface in GCC pretty soon.
Great. And then we have another question for you, Faiza. How can you build an adaptive card that waits for a response and then does something based on that response? They say they've read the docs, but haven't quite figured it out. Any pointers that you can give?
Usually, once you have that adaptive card built and you're collecting information using a form, your next step should expose the data that you collected as parameters for that next step. Or your next step should be able to read those parameters that you collected. I'm not sure where it is you're kind of hitting some issues. I do know that the Power Automate community is one of the most vibrant that we have. So I'd encourage you to give it another try and then engage with the community. That'll probably bubble up to the team if you're still having issues, and we can try to get you unblocked.
Great. And then we have another question that just came in. When someone's creating one of these bots and flows, where exactly are they saved? If a person's account is deactivated, do they stop functioning? What's sort of the lifecycle management of these things? And for this particular question, I can help answer that.
Yeah, go ahead.
So all of these things live inside of the Power Platform cloud, you could say, and they get saved there. You did bring up a great point that these things are attached to a user. But what's also really great about the Power Platform is we give admins through PowerShell commands the ability to kind of move things around, change ownership. So you don't need to worry that all of your apps and flows will just break if someone leaves. They'll keep working. And if you need to transfer ownership after that person leaves so that you can make adjustments or edits to them, you can do that with PowerShell. Cool. Another question that we have is, in the form when you created the intranet app, how can Teams integrate with a different SSO used within my org? Is other SSOs supported within Teams?
Loki, you want to take that one?
So the SSO in Power Platform is backed by Azure Active Directory. Also, the SSO mechanism that we use for tabs or hosted experiences inside of Teams is also handled by Azure Active Directory. We do support other authentication mechanisms inside of Teams for your apps. So, you know, you could sign in with Google or LinkedIn if that's what the app provides. But as for single sign-on is purely backed by Azure Active Directory at this point.
Great. And we're running at 2 minutes left. So we'll ask maybe one, two remaining questions, and we'll go ahead and wrap things up. So the next question is our favorite question. It's all about licensing. Faiza, can you share kind of what the licensing story is for Power Apps? And then they're also asking in particular virtual agents and bots.
Got it. We're almost out of time, so I'll go real quick. There is a seeded license that's available as part of M365 that allows you to connect with a lot of the O365 properties, SharePoint, Office, what have you. When you want to connect with SQL Server or some Azure-related connectors, those are more premium. And so you have to get a separate license, a Power Platform license for that. For Power Virtual Agent, there is a 60-day trial period. Abby, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but after that, you do also need a license for that.
Right. Yes, that's correct. And Power Virtual Agents, the billing is done by sessions, not by the user license. So it is going to be based on your usage of the bot sessions.
Great. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap this up. It was a pleasure being able to speak to all of you, and we hope you enjoy the rest of Build.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.